people, and so just by coming, it tells me that that a good part of my job's already done. You want something from the Lord, and that's what we wanted to. And so I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. And the subject is marriage, and we're calling this a conference, marriage conference. That's good. Seminar. I like that when a preacher said something. It's been that long since the last one. I hope it's not that long till the next one. Amen. That will discourage me. But this thing, I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. And you know me. I've been coming here for a few years, and it's an honor to come here. And I'm looking forward to the meeting that starts Sunday. And if I was to say that I had a forte, if you will, it would be what's going to start on Sunday and go through next Friday. And I'm going to try to preach and whole counsel of God and be a blessing to you. What I'm saying is this. This isn't. Marriage isn't my forte or my long coat. I don't claim to be a professional at this. I don't have a doctorate degree in anything, let alone marriage. Amen. But I like the idea of doing a seminar because I heard just the example of one fellow. I was going to do a veterans. I was asked to a veterans conference once. And I'm a veteran, so I'm qualified there. But they were trying to get Oliver North, and they called me because he charged $30,000 a day. And so, you know, they got me. Amen. I don't. But you got me, and this seminar thing, and this is 2 days, and I just want to let you know I can use the money. So, amen. I might do the revival for free. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look here. We're talking about a marriage conference, and a godly marriage ought to be the number one priority of all married Christians. A godly marriage. Why? Because it's an integral part of your testimony. Amen. There's more to your testimony than the day you got saved or where you were. Your testimony is your walk with God. And you need to just understand that to have the kind of testimony you're supposed to have, That's going to apply, that's going to affect, that's going to be revealed in your marriage. And I'm talking to both parties. Amen. It's very important. And in the course of traveling the country, we're in church somewhere every week. There may be 5 weeks a year where we're not in revival somewhere. Amen. And that's when I make a point to go home so that my wife can be in our home church where her daughters are, other daughters, grandchildren. And even then, I'm in another church preaching somewhere. I'm preaching 51 Sundays a year somewhere. And most of that's revivals. Amen. So we get to see a lot of folks. I'm not complaining. I get to rub shoulders with the best of the best. Amen. I appreciate God's people. They're the best crowd I ever run with. Amen. My job's easy because folks want something from the Lord. Believe the book. Pray. Amen. Sometimes that makes me look good. Amen. It's really because if you want God, He wants you back. He's not the one playing hard to get here. So, but what I'm saying is this, as I travel, we see people like you, Lord willing, I mean, that want better marriages, and then we see people that are enduring bitter marriages. And I'll tell you what, it ought to be our desire, no matter what you're going through. I don't get briefed. I don't know what you're going through. I know what you go through because I'm married too. I understand all that stuff. Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Okay. He didn't ask me to come here after giving me a 200-page questionnaire to fill out to make sure I was qualified. I'm qualified because of this right here. Amen. I'm not without problems. Hey, Lord willing, this week, this month, I'm doing pretty well. I tell you what, 3 years ago when I first did a marriage conference, I don't think I needed to do one. I think I needed to put the 50 hours into studying because I needed one. And my marriage is better because of this kind of thing. And I'm hoping that you'll get something from the Word of God that'll help you. Better marriages is what we want, isn't it? Isn't it? The preacher already said it. My desire, my goal, and I hope it's not yours, I hope you don't look at this thing as a forum that you can use to gather information to use against your spouse. That's not the goal here. You'll miss the boat. Now, we're going to use the Bible, and you may hear things that I hope you don't take them home and elbow your spouse and say, see, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
if you got problems in your marriage, to some degree, that may be what you're doing already with verses that apply to the marriage. That's not going to help anybody. That's not going to honor God. And I tell you what, it'll make light years worth of difference in our marriages today if we get a hold of the fact that our testimony, including marriage, is supposed to honor God. Amen. And so this is, just like the preacher's already said, it's an opportunity to just concentrate our minds, not just the same as coming in on church on Sunday and then during the course of the week where there's going to be a revival and, hey, Lord, speak to me, show the preacher, give me something. This is more specific than that, and that we know coming in that what we're going to address is marriage. We're going to address the relationship. We're going to address things according to the Word of God. And so, unlike a revival, you know now at least what direction we're going. And the purpose is for you, and listen, you don't have to wait till you get here to pray that God will speak to your heart. You ought, a preacher said, I don't doubt some of you have been praying for this. Amen. I hope so. I really do. I have been. I want it to be a blessing. I want to get a blessing. Amen. I've had God, even just then, speak to my heart, my wife's heart during the course of this thing. God can do that kind of thing. Amen. I want to have a better marriage. Amen. I want to have a God-honored marriage. And so should you. So should you. And so we're going to go to a verse here. And there's a lot of verses about marriage. There's a lot of verses about husbands and wives. And in the course of this session tonight, two separate sessions in the morning, wherein I'll be speaking to men, two specific hours. My wife will be speaking to the ladies separately, same thing. Amen. Talking straight to you right from the book. And then we'll, after lunch, we'll come back together and have one more thing like this where everybody's together. And we're going to use some of the verses that you're familiar with. What I'm going to give you tonight is a verse that I think applies very well. But it's not a typical marriage verse. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In the course of studying for this marriage conference type of thing, Lord showed me some here that's key, and I know I've implemented it, and it's helped me, and it'll help you. Philippians, I got two glasses of water. We're in good shape. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, and again, this isn't a verse that you probably, maybe not, maybe you have here, but I'm going to apply it. It's not a typical marriage verse, but let's look at it. Let's just start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now that's good verse there, and I might preach on that tomorrow. I'm still asking the Lord about it, but what I want to speak to you tonight on is verse 3. Now let's look what it says. It says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that right there, that's an instruction to the church at Philippi about how Christians are to coexist with one another, how God could be honored by fellow Christians relating with one another by doing just what it says, esteeming other better than themselves. What verse, amen, I mean, I'm not asking for an answer here. I'm just saying, boy, if there's a secret to a good God-honoring marriage, it'd be that right there. Esteeming your spouse, be it husband or wife, better than yourself. Amen. So I'm going to preach on that verse. I'm going to give you some stuff. I'm going to give you some other verses. And if you want something, you'll get something. And if you're looking for some magic thing, you ain't going to get that. Because if I had the magic solution to marriage problems, even amongst Christians, I wouldn't be sitting here with a 11-year-old Winnebago out in the yard. I'd be getting $30,000 a day. No, amen. What a thing if somebody could figure that out. Amen. The only person that can figure this thing out, the only person that can give us what we need to have marriages like they ought to be, is God. So we're just going to ask God to give us something. Let's pray. Father, I love you. And like I prayed back there with my wife, like I prayed several times today. And I'm praying right now publicly. Lord, I don't feel that I'm up to the task. I don't feel I'm qualified for this great responsibility. I'm honored by it. But you know my heart, Lord, and there's probably people in here that could give me some advice, and I'd be willing to take it, Lord, because I want to be more pleasing to you. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to have a better testimony. And God, I just got to feel that there's folks in this room here tonight on a extra non-mandatory church night that feel the same way. And I pray that you speak to our hearts in a way that'll allow us, Lord, to draw closer to you in this subject and to our spouse. Father, please, I just pray and ask that you'd meet with us in a mighty way and do something so that when it's said and done, we can say it was good to be here, not because of anything Dave Spurgeon had, but God, that you met with us. And we need that. We ask for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let each esteem other better than itself. It says better than themselves. It says there in verse 3 in the beginning of that thing, it says this. It says, let nothing. That's an English word that means nothing. Isn't this deep? Amen. Listen, you're not going to catch me running to the Greek or the Hebrew or to anything else this week. Man, I just thank God that he saw fit to give me a Bible in a language I can understand. Amen. And it says this, it says, let nothing be done through strife. And you know what strife is if you're married. Now, we got a young couple here. Maybe they don't know as much about strife as some of the rest of us do. But that Bible says this, let nothing be done through strife. That's like arguing, you know, because bless God, you're right. And if you could only get them to see that you're right. And I've seen people argue, amen, both of them fully convinced that the problem existed because of their inability to get the other person to see their way. And when you got two people that are totally convinced that they're right, you're going to have strife. Amen. Listen, this thing, if the most important thing to you is being right, you shouldn't have got married. Amen. Number one is because that's not the most important thing. Amen. And number two, you're married to somebody else that thinks that too half the time. Amen. It says, let nothing be done through strife. And listen, being right is not the most important thing. Being right with God is. And the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory, that's defined like this. Exclusive vanity. Amen, that's worse than regular vanity, I guess. Exclusive vanity, excited by one's own performance. Empty pride. Delusions of grandeur. Amen. I tell you what, there ain't no place for that in marriage. There ain't no place at all for you to think that you're the most important party in the world. The Bible says your spouse and you are supposed to be one. Amen? So I think this verse applies really well to marriage. You let nothing be done through strife in vainglory, because a lot of the problems that go on in marriage, problems that I've had in marriage, problems you've had, problems you're having right now, some of you. And I don't get a list. What do I need a list for? I got a Bible. I'm going to tell you what, there's problems that are going on and that are going to go on, have gone on, and are because of this right here, strife and vainglory. Listen, that thing, that unholy trinity of me, myself, and I need to get left on the altar, or you should have never got in a marriage. Because it ain't about you anymore. It ain't about me and my rights and all that. You can... Well, never mind. I won't say what I was going to say. Amen. Probably something out of Texas nobody had understood. Of course, some of you have been to Texas, amen. But let me just say, it says this, let nothing be done to strive for vainglory. I mean, how much of a pastor's marriage counseling, which is part of the territory, so I am glad to be an evangelist, amen. I don't get to do that till somebody came up with this idea, so I'm trying to do my best. But how much of the problem is just based on strife and vainglory, everybody demanding their rights? Listen, if you're saved here tonight, before God, you don't have any rights. You belong to Him. when you got married, man, I'll tell you what, I got a message. I don't know which ones will come tomorrow, but you made some vows to another person that I've come to see that God takes way more seriously than we do sometimes. That vainglory stuff, that's supposed to... I told a married couple one time that that was a problem. I said, I was at their wedding. And then I was privy to some of the things that were going on, and I don't even want to know what's going on. But I got them to the side. I don't know if they listened to me or not. I don't think they did. But I said, you two need to go home, because I was at their wedding. I said, you need to go home and put that DVD in and listen to what you guys said to each other before God that day. I'll tell you what, that might help somebody in here. Maybe you don't have a DVD, amen? But I'm going to tell you what, you ought to go back sometime and consider that day when what you were getting involved in here in this thing called marriage was the biggest event of your life. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that high-minded is one of the signs of the perilous end times. Let me see. I better go look it up. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And it gives a list right there that, man, just sounds like an indictment against our country today. All the stuff that's going on is going on. Amen. And one of the things it says there in a sign of the last days is high-minded, and that's pride, and that's being lifted up, and that's thinking you're right and everybody's wrong. And again, if everybody could just see it your way, everything would be fine. No, it'd be worse, because you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and your ways aren't perfect, but God's ways are. But this says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. And that's the opposite of the trend. That's the opposite of the state of the nation, amen, and the state of the times that we belong in right now. Lowliness of mind, Christ said of himself in Matthew 11, verse 29, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. In lowliness of mind. Let me say to you tonight, pride, this vainglory, this strife that comes from having to always be right, that's of the devil, you understand? Now, humility is of the Lord. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Now, it's your choice, you know. It really boils down. It's that simple. If pride predominant, then you're going to have a bitter marriage. And if humility is predominant, if you can esteem the other better than yourself, then you're going to have a better marriage. It really is that simple, and it's your choice. In other words, it's up to you to have a marriage that's hell on earth, that's of the devil, or heaven on earth. Well, that one that honors God. You honor God in your relationship with your spouse, and God will bless you, see? And that's what we need here. We don't need some evangelist to come in with all the answers. We need God. And if we do it God's way, we might get it. Amen. Might get the blessings of God. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That word esteem means this, to honor. To honor. Boy, we want our kids to know that they're supposed to honor their father and their mother. The Bible says this is the first commandment with promise. Amen. That it may be well with thee, and thou days be long on the earth. Amen. That's what happens if a child honors their parents. That book says that we're supposed to esteem others, and in the relationship of the local church, we're supposed to honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. How much more so should we honor our spouse? This one that you made these vows to, this one that you've made the commitments to, whether you be the wife or the husband. The roles vary. They're different. But this part here is not different. Amen. Esteem means to honor, to set a value on, to prize, to regard with reverence, respect, and friendship. Wow. Friendship. Amen? If the Holy Spirit says that that's a necessary for brothers to get along and to honor God, brethren, how much more so should it not be important for us to get a hold of in our marriages to honor our spouse? The Bible says before honor is humility. Amen. A lot of things go back to getting that me first thing out. And again, that is so destructive to marriage and so contradictory to the purpose of marriage and so such a big deal with so much, maybe most, marriage problems. It's when people just start thinking about themselves. So I'm going to give you some Bible stuff here, Bible verses, and the point is to learn how to esteem other better than themselves. And now we're going to start with the wives, amen? That way, by the time I'm done, then we'll go to the husbands, then by the time I'm done, the wives won't be mad at me, amen? But you might be for them, but that's, I hope not, but let's go to your favorite passage, wives, Ephesians chapter 5. And this is the idea, and to learn how to esteem your spouse better than yourself. We'll start with the ladies. I'm just going to try to give you some practical things, and you get better preaching than this from your own pastor. I understand that, but this is a concentrated attempt here for tonight and tomorrow to focus on this particular subject. So you'll get some if you want something. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says this: wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There, isn't that a popular verse these days? Amen. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It just gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it? And now usually the husbands have no problem amening these verses. It's Bible, is it not? Let's try it, men. Let's try it. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Not too loudly. Like my wife likes to remind me, you got to sleep sometime. Amen. So, you know, you don't want to get too excited about that. But I've noticed that these verses, and rightfully so, and I understand, they're not that popular. Women don't want to be subject to the likes of us. I understand that. It's real unpopular with the feminazis. Amen. They hate that. They go against that. That's against everything. Amen. If you've not noticed that since the feminist movement really got a hold of America, things aren't getting better. I mean, has anybody noticed that? Amen. Especially marriage. My wife, she's been married before. And her husband is my Bible teacher, and that'll get discussed in different ways as far as illustration in the course of these messages, mine and hers, I'm sure. But a young Christian, she got in her Bible, and her husband got in her Bible, and they got a hold of these verses right there, and Sue got a hold of it, and she's old college educated, grew up in the 60s, and went to college in the 70s and all that. And pretty independent gal. I know you can't tell, but I'll tell on her probably. But one day her husband said, he said, boy, this thing, man, a Christian life, so much better than before, and we can serve God together, and then we can spend all eternity together. Amen. And my wife said, if you think I'm going to be in submission to you through all eternity, you're crazy. Amen. Amen. The truth of the matter is, amen, this may be biblical order, and it is. Come on, men. Help me out. Amen. 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 Ah, this is worse than I thought. Not really. Not really. It's about exactly right. But it's not easy. But listen, ladies, it's Bible, okay? Now, if you want a God-honoring marriage, you're going to have to acknowledge this, and you're going to have to work at it. And I'm not telling you have to like it. I wouldn't like it either. But I want to say some things about verse 22, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I want you to understand that I feel your pain and all that stuff, kind of stuff. How am I sounding? Real sympathetic and everything? Amen. I'll give you this right here. And you men need to get a hold of this too. Women don't like to submit to you any more than you like to submit to, whether it's your pastor or your employer, women don't like it any better. Just because they're the female, Just because the Bible says, and he makes it pretty clear, the husband's head of the wife, there's reasons, there's responsibilities for that, which we will get to, so don't be skipping out. They don't like submit any more than you would. So just think about it that way, and I'm going to tell you why. It says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, "Unto the woman he said," this is what God speaking, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee." Before that right there, the woman was a help meet for him. She was a co-laborer with him. Amen. Adam was created first. You know that. Don't blame me if you don't like that. Take it up somewhere else. But the woman was put in subjection to the man as a result of the curse, as a result of sin. It's not, amen, it's for her protection, but it's for a lot of things, but it's because of the curse. So I'm just saying this. Listen, ladies, I understand you don't like it. That's part of human nature, but it is Bible. A fellow told me one time about this. He said there were two lines of men waiting to get into heaven. They're just, you know, I don't know where the women were that day, but there's two doors, there's two lines, and they're waiting. You guys know all about that. I've stood in more lines since I've been in New York, amen, I mean for a long time. And they're standing in line, and there are two lines, and one line is men whose women, whose wives, run the house. They run on a long line, and then there's the other line is made up of men who, they're the head of their home. They're the head of their home. And this line over here, where the men are the head of their home, like it's supposed to be biblically, it's only got one guy in it. One guy in it. And there's like a million in the other line. Amen. And so St. Peter's standing there, because like everybody knows, he's the doorman to heaven. You know, every time I read through here, I miss that. It's got to be so many people believe it. But I'll get it maybe next time. And St. Peter walks up to that guy. He says, "You know, what's the deal, man? Why are there so many men in that line? You're the only one here." Guy says, "I don't know. My wife told me to stand here." Amen. Amen. They don't like being in subject. I was at a place one time where they announced, who's the oldest married couple? And some couple raised their hand. Not oldest age, longest. 35 years they've been married. 35 years. And so the guy up on the stage, he says, what is the secret, sir? 35 years, that's great. And what is the secret to 35 years of wedded bliss? He said, was your marriage happy? He said, yes. What is the secret to 35 years of wedded bliss? And the guy said, looked at him, and just a matter of fact, he said, learning to say yes, ma'am. Amen. Men should always get the last word. Did you know that? And that's what it is. Yes, ma'am. Amen. That if you want to have... But look, biblical order. Biblical order. Amen. You guys are staring at me like we're at a funeral. I'm not at a funeral. So I'm trying to lighten up a little bit. Amen. But biblical order is for the husband to be the head of the home and for the wife to be in subjection to her husband. And listen, that is for the woman's protection. Amen. If it had been that way in the garden, I told my wife many times, I said, look, you know, I don't have the answer to all this, but you need to have a talk with Eve when you get there. Because, you know, everything's her fault, right? Right? Man, come on, let me... Man. Okay, I'll take it. Amen. But there's a couple problems. A couple problems with this wife submit to your husbands, and one of them is they don't like submit any more than we do. Let me try it like this. Reverse psychology. I'm married to a psychologist. Let me try reverse psychology. Let's do it like this. Women don't like to submit any more than men do. Ladies? That's weak too, but it's better. It's better. Amen. That's not the only problem. There's another problem. It says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, there's a problem here. You know what the problem is? The Lord is perfect. And we're not. Now, look at it like this. We, men, all of us, we have a hard time submitting to the Lord when He's given us His will in black and white. We struggle with this stuff. Amen. If we didn't, we wouldn't need preaching. We could just hold hands and sing Kumbaya every Sunday, like some people do. And they pretend they don't have any problems, but they got a lot of problems. They got a revolving door on the front. They got so many problems. Amen. But we have a hard time submitting to the Lord. That's why we have to preach. That's why we have to counsel. That's why we do what we do. But He's perfect and we struggle. Is there any wonder that sometimes your wife has a hard time submitting to you? Because, you know, let me try an amen out of the wives again. You're not perfect. You guys are fun. Not that much fun, but kind of. Look here. It gets deeper than that. Verse 33, it says this in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's a boatload right there. Verse 22, it says submit, and verse 23 says he's the head, and verse 24 says for the wife to be subject to her husband, and if that's not enough, verse 33, it says she's to reverence him. That word reverence means to regard with fear mingled with respect and affection. Now that's a tall order. Listen, I married my wife 11 years ago, last April, 11 years ago, and we both got our stories and our testimonies. Her husband got a terminal disease and went home be with the Lord, and my wife, she got a terminal disease called sin, and she left. And Lord put us together, and we've been serving the Lord together for about 11, almost 11 and a half years. And I just want to say to you, and I'll say it in her presence, and I married up, man. Some of you married up. I mean, she's out of my league. She's been saved 15 years longer than me. She's been in the Bible. She's been under preaching. She's been studying. She's been married to a preacher. She's been involved in different ministries almost twice as long as I've even been saved. Amen. Now, when we got married, I knew she's got a college degree. Man, I come from the street. I knew that there were some differences amongst us. I know some of you look at me and go, I can't believe I'm at a marriage conference with some tattooed biker up there. But listen, I never believed that I'd be given one, okay? Amen. But I knew that there was going to be some adjustments for us. Amen. And we were in our 40s. Amen. People in their 40s are, I know she doesn't look that old, but she is. I know people, that was 11 years ago. She ain't in her 40s no more. Oh yeah, we're in good shape. She can handle it. She can handle it. Got to sleep sometime, don't I, honey? Amen. People in their 40s are set in their ways. Amen. My preacher said, yeah, people's minds get like concrete, all mixed up and fully set. Amen. That's like concrete. And we were both like that. Think of, now listen, I'm telling you, ladies, that Bible says you're to submit to your husband. Think how she felt. She knew the Bible better than I did. She knew when she accepted my proposal, she knew everything that came with it. She goes, I'm wondering, man, I don't ask her. I'm afraid to ask her. What in the world went through your mind when you realized you're going to have to, amen, submit to me as your husband? Amen. I don't even want to know. I'm afraid to ask now. She remembers when I first came to church, man, hair down the middle of my back, leather jacket out, I'm bond, just got out of jail, 2 days before getting ready to go to prison, walk in, you know, got this, I say, hey, I got saved in jail, I'm just glad. I know you'll never believe this, but I was a little rough around the edges there in the early days. Not smooth and debonair like now, you know. And I wonder what she must have thought. I know this, I know that she never thought she'd be married to me. But I tell you what, when she accepted it, my proposal, she knew everything that went with it. And you know why she's able to do it? I mean, she's smarter than me. She's more spiritual than me. And I don't have any problem admitting that. I don't have any problem admitting that at all. I'm glad God's given me a man. I got a help meet. I needed one. I mean, every man needs a godly wife. I'm glad he gave me one. Amen. But she knew. She knew what that involved. And she does a good job, not always, you know, just pretty much so, pretty good job. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. We both knew that if our marriage, if our combining two families, we both had children. We knew that if this thing was going to work, it was going to have to be God. And we know that to this day. It's got to be God. And for your marriage to honor God, it's going to have to be because you want Him as the head of the thing. And it's possible. And it has to be God for every one of us. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And man, I'm not talking about all the other crowds and denominations or whatever you want to call them. I don't care about any of that. I'm not talking about a lost and dying world. I'm talking about among Christians that claim to believe the Bible. Amen. I see them, husbands and wives, both laboring in vain trying to do it their way. And that's not, even if it was possible for it to work that way, it wouldn't honor God. Why don't we quit trying to do it our way? Why don't we get the Lord in on the thing? Why don't we get out of His way? Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but let each, okay, look at your spouse, if your spouse is in here. I can see you back there, way back there. Look at your spouse. The Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. How many marriage problems would disappear if you could just look at your spouse and say, you know, your opinion is more important to me than mine. What would you like? What a concept it'd be if we could all get a hold of that. I mean, it's given to the church. How many church problems would there not be if we could get a hold of that? But how much more so would it work in a marriage? Amen? All right, let me read them again so you don't forget. Besides, I just love the hearty amen from all the men. Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Give it a try. Oh, some of you in trouble now. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It's the Bible. So, ladies, I acknowledge that's a tall order. Amen. I acknowledge you don't like submitting anymore. Nobody's trying to fault your character. You're not submissive. You're some rebellious this or that. No, we're all cut from the same piece of cloth if you go back far enough. Nobody likes to submit. We don't do this because we like it. We're going to try to do what God says to do because we acknowledge we need this thing to go the way God intended it to go. And you're just not going to get godly results using any other method. And it's that simple. Okay? Okay? Amen. Yeah, so I acknowledge that it's a tall order submitting to an imperfect man as unto the Lord, but that'll glorify God if you will. So I'll tell you what will help you. I'll tell you what will help you. Let each esteem other. Let nothing. It means nothing. It applies to your home. It applies to every aspect of your life, doesn't it? Nothing. There's no exceptions there. There's no but, as long as, you know. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. The Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I think we take some of these verses and just get rid of them. And we think acting opposite of what God said to do makes us spiritual or manly. It's what a bunch of hogwash. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Boy, we got to maintain that look. So many marriages. Our church has marriages. Your church has had some marriages. Remember that. When they stand up here and look, that look in their eye, boy, if we could keep that thing going. I mean, more than a day, or a week, or month, or year. Remember that thing when, boy, whatever that person you are vowing to spend your life with, whatever they wanted, whatever made them happy, whatever was important to them, was the most important thing in the world to you? Remember that? Boy, we could get back to that. Some degree. I'm trying to tell you, I mean, I want you to be happy. I want you all to feel good. No, I'm telling you what the purpose of this thing is, we get a hold of doing what it takes to honor God. And you can honor God through your marriage. It's an important part of your testimony. You need to get a hold of that. Like I said, this isn't give you ammunition against your spouse. We're going to the men now. Amen. You might be done. I'm not. Amen. Verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Doesn't say anything about your fishing pole, your boat, your car. You know, I need a list of things that New Yorkers like. You know, if I was in Alabama, a lot of things come to mind. Amen. But, amen. But it says love your wife. So if you got one, well, that's what you're admonished to love. Amen. Love. And here's the example. Even as Christ also loved the church. Did he love the church? The Bible says he gave himself for it. Now you think about he gave himself for it on the cross, and he sure did, didn't he? But wait a minute. He was in heaven. He was in a perfect environment. He wasn't just a resident. He wasn't an inhabitant. He sat on a throne next to his Father, his heavenly Father, that he'd never been separated from, ever. And he left it. He left the worship that he was getting, the power that he had. He left a perfect environment to come here in one of the worst economic situations and environments that ever Israel was subject to Rome at the time. He was born to very, very poor people. You got to get a hold of the fact that he left the splendor of heaven to come here. The Bible says he gave himself. He gave that. He got here and started out like you and I start out as a baby. God in the flesh subjected himself, learned obedience, submitted to his parents, lived a totally selfless life. Not one mention of him before he turned 30 years old. I mean, no public attention to him. There's references to when he was a child. And then the last 3.5 years of his life were dedicated to what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Getting people into his kingdom. Why? Because he was going to spend eternity with his bride. He went to the cross. He gave himself on the cross of Calvary. He forsook, what I'm trying to say is this, he forsook much more than just spending an afternoon nailed to a cross. And that's what that book says, how you're supposed to be toward your wife. Now, you look at that thing in the right perspective, and here's what you're going to find out. Submitting to you is the easier of the two tasks. And we men get a hold of that, and it's all on her. We're the head. No. You're supposed to give everything for her. Man, you're supposed to reverence her. That she's supposed to reverence you. That Bible says, and 2 Peter 3, First Peter 3, that you're to honor, giving honor unto the wife. What's that mean? Reverence. It's a two-way street. Man, we take these little bits and pieces out of context and use them to browbeat our. Are you kidding me? It doesn't honor God. You hear me? I mean, I don't like the newfangled words partnership and all, but I'm going to tell you what, that's what it is. He gave himself for it. He gave his life. He gave up his rights, didn't he? Father, if this cup can pass, but he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine. Who'd he do it for? Bride. Gave himself. Now here's what comes into man's mind. Say, how do you know? Duh. You don't know my wife. She's not perfect. You're not. And neither is she. But it says Christ loved the church and gave himself. And you need to understand that the church that Christ gave himself for wasn't perfect either. Amen. Jesus healed the blind and then said, don't tell anybody I did this. And they told everybody. Amen. He said that when the multitude was hungry, these disciples, I mean his main crew said, send them away, we can't help them. They got an argument one time. Who's the greatest in the... There's our roots as human beings right there. Who's the best? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? When that lady broke the alabaster box to honor God, to worship God, one of the disciples said, to what purpose is this waste? Doesn't sound like a perfect bride to me. Amen. In John 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? God told him to mind his own business. Peter said in Matthew 26, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then it says this, likewise said all the disciples. We got it down. Peter said, I'll never deny thee. What we miss when we're reading through Matthew 26 is the Bible says, likewise said all the disciples. Now we know Peter denied him at the fire, but in verse 56 of Matthew 26 says, all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Christ gave himself sacrificially for an imperfect church. Why? For the glory of God. You can give yourself, you can sacrifice whatever you need to for your wife, even though she's not perfect, if Christ did. And so now that was the disciples. That was before the crucifixion, that was before the resurrection. And you might just say, well, the church that Christ gave himself for, it wasn't that crowd. It was the church after the resurrection, after the ascension, after Pentecost. The one that was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Or the one that rejoiced and was counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That church is the one that Christ founded and Christ gave himself for. And we're supposed to love. Like he loves that church, but that's also the same church that... Ananias and Sapphira were members of. That's also the same church that John Mark was part of that left the work and forsook Paul and Barnabas. That's the same church that Demas was in, and the Bible records he forsook Paul having loved this present world. Amen. It was the same church that had a fornication problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. And it was the same church that... the church after the resurrection that Paul had to rebuke the legalistic Galatians who were trying to add grace and works to the law. See, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And the church has never been perfect. Will be one day. Will be one day, but it's not yet. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 27, you should be there, that he might... presented to himself, talking about his bride, talking about the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, should be, see, holy, and without blemish. See, Christ had the long view, see. He wasn't looking at what she was. He was looking at what she could be, what she would be, if he do it God's way. And that's why he said, not my will but thine be done. And he did it his way. And the church is going to turn out glorious, without spot, without blemish. and because Jesus Christ did things God's way, and husbands, you and I need to do things God's way too. And it's not about whether or not she's worthy or perfect, or none of us are. It's doing it God's way, and then trusting God that it'll turn out right. Amen. God honored marriage is very simple. Amen. We're admonished to love our wife biblically as Christ loved the church and not be sidetracked by faults. He saw what she was going to be, and that's where we ought to be. Very simple. I'm going to close right here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. The Bible gives distinct, and those verses that we covered are fundamental verses to the wife and the husband. There's responsibility for both. There's benefit for both. But what we need to put on top of the list is not weighing the advantages and disadvantages. What we need to get a hold of is whether or not we want God in on it, because that's what God says to do. Amen? So I didn't give you any ammunition that you can use against your spouse until you got everything I said to you right. And I don't know about you, but I found that this is a lifelong endeavor. I want to be pleasing to God, and I'm not always. But when I'm not, when it comes to my marriage, it's because me first gets in there. Me first. My time, my whatever. You know what I'm saying? My money, my resources. And that's the problem. Esteem other. Look at your spouse and realize this. You're to esteem them better. They're not your servant. Either way. You want to honor God? Do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I pray that something that was said might be a help and blessing to these precious folks who've come out tonight. And God, I feel less up to the task now than I did when I started. But Lord, it was never about me anyway. And Father, we've tried to honor your word tonight. And I pray and ask God that you just give us a burden and desire in our heart to be pleasing to you. And that we might have the marriages, God, that would allow us to have the testimony we ought to have. And Father, without you it ain't going to happen. We want it to happen. We pray and ask that you just stay on us until it does. Help us to see our need and not be so selfish and esteem our spouse better than ourselves. And we ask you to bless this, how whatever goes on from here, whatever the preacher does, whatever invitation, whatever prayers, whatever soul searching, I pray there be some. And whether spouses are here in all cases tonight or not, I pray there be some soul searching. I pray everybody first say, what was said that I need to take to heart? What's the Bible say that I need to deal with? And that's where we all need to start. If we would, I know we'd be better at the end of this thing than we are coming in. So I pray that it be so for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us. And so we thank you for this opportunity to be here in his name. Amen. All right, preacher, take it from there. Amen and amen.
Most of the time, I don't think there's probably anybody in this room here tonight that would say, oh, I never heard those verses before. You've heard them? I'll bet you 50% of the people in the room could probably quote those verses from heart. The problem is that we just don't meditate on them. We don't think on them. And how helpful it would be if maybe you took your, when you go home, maybe you and your wife or you and your husband together sit down and go over these verses and just read them together for a little bit. Ephesians, we read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 22 all the way down to the end, and Genesis 3, I think 16 and 17, and 1 Peter 3, 7 were the ones that he drew our attention to tonight. And what a blessing that would be, probably, if you had to took the time tonight, go home with your wife, your husband, and look at those verses again together. just take a few minutes, look at them together and think about it and pray about it before you go to bed tonight. Tomorrow morning, we are going to have some breakfast at 8 o'clock, I believe. And we do apologize for such an early hour, but there were reasons for that. There were several requested, can't we start this a little later in the morning? And I understand for some it would have been better. For others, they couldn't start later, and so we had to make a decision. And so for the sake of some things that are going on in the afternoon for a few of our people, we kept it at 8 o'clock. So breakfast is at 8, and then the first session is going to start right at 9 o'clock. So one at 9, and then one at 10:15, and then we're going to take a break for lunch, and then the last session will be from 12:30 to 1:30. If you have children that are being babysat tonight, I would just remind you, I think we only mentioned this once, but we have some of the teenagers and a couple of the older singles, and I think there are some adults helping with that too. But we wanted you to, that if you're taking advantage of that, that you would just give a love offering toward that. We're going to give it to those that are helping us out by doing that. You can just leave it in the basket if you want to there at the back of the room. But if you're taking advantage of the babysitting, please just help us out. We want to give them something just for taking the evening to be a blessing and to help you to be able to be here. So please remember that. And I think that might be it. Appreciate the message. Tremendous. I lay it to heart. Take it to heart. And take it home with you. And don't just set your notes aside, but maybe go home and look them over and talk about it with your wife or your husband and pray together about it. And let's come tomorrow morning with our hearts ready. There's a whole lot more tomorrow. And just come tomorrow with your hearts ready to see what God has for you. Okay? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank you tonight for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that it is to our hearts. And just for the reminder, Lord, tonight it is not about Dave and Susan. Father, it is about your words and your wisdom, your principles, and your commands to us. And as Brother Dave said tonight, it is about your honor and doing those things that please you and honor you. And Lord, marriage should not be for our own pleasure, although there are certainly many pleasures in marriage, Lord. But you didn't design it for our pleasure. You designed it for your glory. And Lord, help us to remember that it's for you. And we were created for your pleasure. And help us, Lord, in our homes, in our marriages, we would get that right. We would put you first. We would learn to apply what our brother has reminded us about tonight, that we would esteem our spouses better than ourselves. And we'd learn to love them and honor them the way we should. Help us, Lord, and forgive us as a church, and forgive those here tonight, Lord, that may just need to go home and repent. They may need to go home and ask their husband or wife to forgive them. And I just pray, Lord, there might be some reconciliation. There might be some strengthening of the homes. There just would be husbands and wives drawing together, closer together because of this, Lord. And we just thank you so much. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that allows us to do what we could not otherwise do in our flesh. Father, as the brother said tonight, these things are hard to do, and we understand that. But, Lord, your grace is always sufficient. And we can do everything that you commanded us to do. And so I pray you'll help us, Lord. And may you be honored and glorified through these meetings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. We're dismissed.